comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks. Welcome
from sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar.
I don't know why. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, we're glad you're here. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. If you've been keeping up with the news today, there are there's a whole bunch of really important events taking place in the news, but two that are particularly interesting in terms of this show, and particularly this show tonight. One of them is that BP has taken the cap off of that oil gusher. It wasn't working completely, but it was containing some of the spill. It was limiting how much was going into the Gulf. They've taken that off. And so the Gulf gusher is now gushing again, but unhindered by this cap that they had on it. Some kind of problem they had. One of their robot subs ran into this thing, and they had to, for some reason, it damaged it or something. I don't know. They had to take it off. And so now we're getting the full tilt boogie of the oil gusher again. All right. Another thing that happened is an earthquake in Canada. And you may be saying, well, that's odd. They don't have earthquakes in Canada, but they do. They actually do, and about every 6 to 8 years, they have one in the region where this one happened. It happened about 33 miles north. The epicenter is about 33 miles north of, I believe it's north of Ontario. I could be wrong. But they felt it in Toronto. They felt it all the way over to, it was a, they said a 5.5, then they downgraded it to a 5.0. But it was felt all the way over in Buffalo, New York. It was felt in Ohio. So, you know, if it was a 5, it was a pretty interesting 5, because it was felt a long way away from its epicenter. And there were there was only minor damage to buildings and no reports of casualties, but those two things happening on the same day, it's just sort of interesting, isn't it? I also read today another article about the sunspots. And what's the deal about the sunspots? Well, they're missing. We don't have anywhere near the sunspot activity that would be normal at this point in the solar cycle. And some scientists are beginning to say this may be evidence that the sun is shrinking. Well, if that's the case, what does that portend for us? We're going to talk about some of this tonight. My guest is Drew Malone Raines III, and he'll be joining us right after this break. the III served in the U.S. Marine Corps. Now, these days, I don't know what's happening to the software here, but we'll try to get that straight. Anyway, Drew Malone Raines has served in the U.S. Marine Corps and these days hosts a radio show called A Marine's Disquisition. Now, one of the topics that's very much on the minds of men and women around the world right now is this BP Gulf Gusher that I mentioned at the top of the show. Through his various contacts, Drew Raines says that he's learned that things are not quite what we're being told officially about this Gulf Gusher. Drew Raines, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thanks, sir. I'm proud to be here.
Let's, before we get into that information about the BP Gulf Gusher, let's get to know Drew Raines just a little bit. When did you serve in the Marine Corps, and how did you come to be hosting a talk show?
Just like anybody that believes in God and country, and the justice and freedom and liberty. As a high school student, I graduated from high school and was summarily going off to play football at Louisiana State University, and got sidetracked, so to speak. Trey Prather, a quarterback for an opposing high school, while I was in high school, was an extremely honorable man, and he had joined the Corps, and I got to meet him just as he was leaving New Orleans and going off to boot camp. And a couple of months later, about 4 months later, I decided to follow him. I was disingenuously, let's put it this way, I was unhappy with the racial etiquette of college life.
Mm-hmm.
And
what year was this?
This is 1967.
Yeah.
66, 67.
Mm-hmm.
And 66 is when all of this transpired. 67 is when I went ahead and joined the Corps. To make a long story short, I come from a family that is not racially prejudiced at all. And I went ahead and joined the Marine Corps because it was the least the least heard about in the neighborhood. Let's put it that way. My father was a Marine, decorated from World War II. I decided that nobody talks about the Marines, so I might as well join the Corps. And I enlisted in the Corps in 1967. I served honorably and decorated in Vietnam and Cambodia. I re-enlisted and again went back to Vietnam and Cambodia. And those of you that think that we were not in Cambodia, I know for a fact you're very true. I was there. I know we weren't in Cambodia because I was there. So we weren't any American troops there. Anyway, make a long story short, after doing another enlistment and working with frequent wind in the evacuation of the American embassy in Saigon in 1975, I got an eyeful of the upper brass.
Mm-hmm.
Backstabbing, and it was 17. I think it was 17 years later. My grandmother showed me some letters that she had and a Bible that was dated in the 1870s from her grandmother, who was a butler. And to my famous surprise, I learned that I was the great nephew of Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. After being out of the Corps for 17 years, I found out the most famous Marine in the world, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, was my great-great-uncle. And from those learning my history there in the Marine Corps and finding out that the leadership was not what it was supposed to be. There was a lot of backstabbing going on behind the scenes, lying, And we're not talking about, you know, it's a bunch of PSCs lying to each other or lying to us to some command so they could get a weekend pass. We're talking about lying, overt lying that was detrimental to the nation to get things done. To you've got to spend this because if we don't spend this amount of money, we don't get the money next year, and we may need money next year to do other things. And this was rampant in the financial side. And it wasn't just in the Marine Corps. It was all branches. I witnessed the power play firsthand. And when I decided to leave the Corps, I wrote a letter to the Lieutenant General and said I'd like to resign this next year. At the end of a 10-year tour, if you will accept my resignation, I would appreciate an exit date. I immediately, within 3 days, got a phone call from the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, and they flew me to Washington, D.C., and asked me to stay in the Corps, and as a limited duty officer, I could be, you know, he would allow me to go back to either a warrant officer or back to a gunnery sergeant. And I chose to stay out of the Corps because I told them I told both the commandant and the sergeant major's corps that I could not work for a government that was hell bent in lying to the people. We the people. Being in the government agency as the Marine, I answer to you, the civilians. I don't answer to anybody else but to we the people first.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a command structure I have to live by, and I have to the Uniform Code of Military Justice stands by that. So I have honor to the Corps. And don't get me wrong, Kevin, I love the Marine Corps. I cried for weeks, literally prayed and cried for several weeks. I took my my discharge on July the 13th, 1977, and didn't do squat. I mean, I didn't do anything except lay on the Huntington Beach or Seal Beach, California, and look at the ocean.
Well, how did you come to be hosting this show?
Well, or I became to make a you know to run the real gambit. I drove a truck over the road to get away from the government for 4 years. I gave that up and went back into the electronic field, which is my forte. Master electronic engineer, and went to work with T.D. Williams, a pipeline survey specialist company out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and worked for them for a while. I worked for another caliber pig company in Houston, Texas, and I have this problem with recurring nightmares and dreams of Vietnam and Cambodia. So the working for somebody else was not going to fit. So I came home and began working for myself in the satellite industry. Worked there until 87, when I became a real estate broker here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and worked as a real estate broker until 2003. And I closed my office in 2003 because of the corruption that I saw there. And Officer Jack McLam.
Yeah, I know of him.
Jack McLam called me on the phone one Thursday afternoon, and because I was constantly calling his show to give him support of what he was documenting about the command structure and in the civilian life, the things that were being done and lies being told to the American people. And I ended up doing a long presentation show with him one day concerning the fraud in the raising of values of homes in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And how the fraudulent real estate agents, brokers, banks, appraisers were constantly raising the value of homes when there was no raise. There shouldn't be any raising of the value of the home. It was just because the real estate agent wanted his 7% commission, and the bank wanted a 2% points to fund the loan, so they had to make sure that the value of the house was up 10% over what the person purchased it for in the previous 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid that out one day, and then about 2 weeks later, he calls me on the phone, and he said, "You know, Drew, you did such a great job on that show. I'd like for you to sit in for me. I've got a doctor's appointment at the VA, and would you mind sitting in for my show? Because I really don't want to run a rerun again. I've got a couple other people doing shows the day before and the day after, and I'm going to be out of town for 4 days, and I just don't like running reruns." And so I said, "Sure, I'll do it." And he said, "You know, pick your own subject." And I picked the subject of empire building by the United States government. And I did that show, and Jack McLean had more emails and phone calls and kudos about that show that I became his regular sit-in guest host.
Mm-hmm.
Off and on for the next year and a half.
Well, now, on your show, then, or on your show, you talk about similar things?
Heart attack, and I took over his show.
Mm.
The doctors told him to stop doing so many radio shows, and we changed the name of the show. Instead of the Officer Jack McLam show, we changed the show to American Disquisition, because it was a civilian show to police officers and military.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for two years, and we had the owner of the network, the owner of that particular network and show, he was a little upset because I uncovered and discussed some misrepresentation of, to be nice, let's say it wasn't his specific sponsor that he had that I was talking about. He was a sponsor in general in the same field, and he quite honestly, just the end of the show one day, he says, "Forget it, that's the end of the show. I'm not going to have you badmouth sponsors to this network." And I says, I didn't mention a name, I didn't bring up anything, and if the shoe fits, wear it. I wasn't on the air the next day live, nor the day after that, and then all of a sudden I got 5 Marines call me from all parts around the world telling me that, "We want you on the air. We will put you on the air. We have a 25,000-watt station here in New Zealand. We've got 3 25,000-watt stations in Ireland and Scotland. We have a 15,000-watt station in Sochi, Russia. And we'd like for you to do a 1-hour show." And I did. Just on their networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it mushroomed to, hey, we can get a lot more people, and a lot of other Marines were listening, and they started calling in and setting up phone bridges where people could call in and listen to the show. And one thing led to another, and we were placed on the internet here about a year and 6 months ago, and it's just been one of those things. It's graduated to a 5-day-a-week show to 6 days a week, and Kevin, I don't get paid. I'm like you.
Yeah, I don't get paid either.
So,
but now on your show, you talk about the same sorts of things that you were talking about on the Officer Jack McLam show, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And mushrooms out there, I talk about just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, I call them identifiable flying objects.
Mm-hmm.
People call them UFOs. I talk about things that the government are hiding from the American people, where we're really traveling into outer space with superior classified aircraft. I discuss tunnels that are being dug underneath the states, across the United States, by U.S. Air Force tunnel drilling machines, which I have documented evidence with pictures. Things that we discuss are, underground bases, you know, that basically that's it. And then we, but it's all about the truth. If we can't document it, then we don't talk about it. We let everybody know that here's the evidence that we have. You go make up your own decision. It's like the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, you have every talk show host, if it's a credible talk show, you have sources that gravitate to you and that give you information that can be justifiably called insider information. And that doesn't mean that they're giving you classified information, but insider information. And, you know, I get it. I know you get it. And it's some of that insider information that convinced you that what we were being told officially about this BP oil gusher was not the truth.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least.
We've got about a minute and a half here before break.
A quick one. I have a large network of former United States Marines that I served with in Vietnam, Cambodia, in the 10 years that I was in the Corps. Their sons are now in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughters are now in the Marine Corps at higher echelon jobs. And they are giving information that is not classified. Nothing is classified.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving me information, and then the friends that I went to college with or studied with are now doctors in specific fields. One of those fields happens to be geology. And two of those their professors now have contacted me about the Gulf, and they're concerned, they're worried, and as you go off to the break, all I can tell you is that we need to pray.
All right, we've as you say, we've got a break coming. It's we're about 20 seconds away, but when we do come back, I want to get into what your conversations with these geologists consisted of, and why they are worried, and just how worried are they? You tell us what we need to be doing is praying, so that tells me that you consider this to be credible evidence. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Drew Malone Raines III, formerly U.S. Marine Corps. These days, he is the host of a talk show called A Marine's Disquisition. And by the way, disquisition means an official inquiry. And so we're talking about now this BP oil gusher. And just before the break, Drew, you mentioned the geologists, a couple of geologists that you have talked to, and that they were worried. So let's get into that. Who are these geologists? You don't have to use their name, but tell us a little bit so we kind of know what their background is, other than they're geologists. And then why are they worried?
Both of these geologists have doctorate degrees. Both of them are from and born and raised in Louisiana. They do not have their doctorate degrees from the universities in Louisiana that I know of. I think one of them got his doctorate, which he got in California. But it was in the field of geology. They're both doctorates in the field of geology. And they both have packed their families up and moved them north. I can't discuss any other than that.
Mm-hmm.
I promised them I would never divulge their names, and it's just there's so much information I could give about them that would point to them to get them in trouble. But I will tell you that they are very well learned. They both concurred back in September, October of 2009 that there should be no oil drilling, deep sea or deep earth oil drilling in the area that British Petroleum drilled in, because the massive methane gas cavern that lay below the Earth's surface, if it was pushed and to the brink of escaping to the surface. Now, you have to understand, at 5,000 feet below the Gulf sea level, we've got a lot of pressure that's pushing against the crust of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But this the pressure that's pushing down is nowhere close to 120,000 pounds per square inch of methane gas pressure that is in this tavern of methane gas below the surface. Now, how far down below the surface it is, I personally don't know. I was in a conversation where one of the gentlemen made a comment. I think he said something like it was a mile and a half to 2 miles below the surface. But if there was ever a fissure that was drilled into the methane gas and it gave a pocket for it to escape out at such massive pressure, then it would take a number of days. It wouldn't happen immediately, but it would happen, and it would be something like if you're in a swimming pool and you've got a large 200-gallon air tank underneath the swimming pool that is 10 times more pressure of that air than what the swimming pool is.
Mm-hmm.
You have the drain pipe that goes down into that pocket of air, and all of a sudden you open that drain. That air that's in that cavern below the swimming pool is going to shoot up and out of the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's you can have, anybody knows, when they jump into a swimming pool, you go down a 16-foot swimming pool, you go down to the bottom, your ears are going to pop. You're going to pressurize. You're going to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what happens here in this pocket of air in below the swimming pool that is 10 times the pressure of what the pool water is. It's going to shoot up outside the pool. And when all of the air that's in that lower cavern emerges outside the pool, it's going to turn around and suck the water of the pool back into its cavern. This is what the professor told me is going to happen in the Gulf of Mexico. But the explosion, for the lack of a better term, this volcanic eruption of methane gas will have a diameter of approximately 10 times the diameter of Mount St. Helens. Now, Kevin, we're not talking rocket science here.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you can look at all the pictures in the world and see how big the Gulf of Mexico is.
Mm-hmm.
And how small Mount St. Helens is.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the diameter of Mount St. Helens and you multiply it by 10, and then you put that little marker in the Gulf of Mexico, it's still going to be small. But in the reality of everything, it's going to be a diameter, in a big diameter, a big hole. And it's going to, when it explodes, it's going to start sucking water. You're going to see an explosion that will cause a tsunami, a little bitty tsunami by the time, because it's just off the coast of Louisiana, 50 miles. The tsunami that'll hit the Gulf Coast of Louisiana probably won't be any higher than 20 feet.
Well, that's pretty significant.
And that's significant in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Lycomas Parish can kiss its posterior goodbye. But think about the fact that that 20-foot tsunami, as it rolls across the Gulf at 600 to 700 miles per hour, how long is it going to take to reach 50 miles south by southeast of Plaquemines Parish to reach Tampa Bay?
Well, it's going to be a matter of minutes, a very few minutes.
Very few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be 20 feet. It's going to be 400 feet.
Now, this 400 feet figure, is that something that the geologist told you about?
Matt, that's math.
Mm-hmm.
Any mathematician can get out there and figure it up himself with a slide rule.
All right, so these guys have packed up their families and moved away from the Gulf Coast. Obviously, they must think this is a danger that is impending. In other words, they must think there's some immediacy to this.
True. They're praying. They pray. They are both praying. They say, matter of fact, both of them called me today after my radio show and said that everything that we discussed on my show today was the other scenario, very possible, very practical. And they pray. They are praying. One said that in the conversation, in the conference call, that he said, I would rather be wrong, 100% wrong on this, than to think that one person is going to lose their life because the government of the United States is not telling the people the truth. And I told everybody that I would rather be a fool on every radio station in America and this entire event not come to pass. But I feel that there is a creator. I am a devout believer, and I believe that things can change. However, I don't see American people changing. I do not see American people on their knees praying. What I do see, Kevin, is I see the United States government out to lunch and the American people at the mall. And if they're not at the mall, they're at the ball game. Name the ball.
Do you think, because you know how it is on the Internet, anything can happen, anything, any event, and all of a sudden there will appear all kinds of stories on the Internet about conspiracies and so forth, and some of those are real. There are conspiracy theories, and then there are actual conspiracies that exist. But one of the things that's out there is that this whole thing is a false flag operation, and it's a real operation, but it's called a false flag operation. What do your sources tell you about that?
Jack McLam called. He didn't call me, but I got from his secretary a printout. And the question that you're asking is right on. A false flag event is something that's been caused by a government to take away or impress the people, take away the people's rights in utilizing the false flag event to show something is happened to them and to their country, but was really orchestrated by the leaders and the power play individuals at the top of the echelon, much like the fascists and the Nazis in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Well documented.
Oh, yeah.
So today we have the possibility of a major false flag event that could be utilized to force everybody to leave the Gulf, leave the coastline, move the poor and the indigent again from the southern states, and at this time force them to have vaccination, force them to surrender their weapons, force them to be tagged with an identification chip, totally against God's law. I could go on and on. But at the same time, even if this was a false flag event, it could be very well a false flag event that is going terribly wrong, in as much as we've got the CEO of BP playing golf and watching a yacht race. We've got the President of the United States making it appear that he's doing something with his blue shirt, with his sleeves rolled up, and he visits Plaquemines Parish, and while he's there, in the background, there's 80 to 100 men dressed in white suits, masks, rakes, working on a beach, probably the length of the beach that is seen in the picture is close to maybe 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of Plaquemines Parish, specifically in New Iberia, they saw this event. The 100 or so men in white arrived 15 minutes before the president. The men in white, in all their little rakes, packed their bags up and departed 5 minutes after the president left. The people of Plaquemines Parish are mad, to say the least. I could use very choice words from several of the shrimpers.
Okay, Drew, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up there when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Drew Raines. Drew, let me ask you a little bit about this, why they think that this thing is going to blow. Why do they think it's going to explode, this big pocket of methane? And when I say they, I'm referring to those geologists. What is it that makes them think it's going to happen?
They're not the only two, but they're the two that I talked to.
Okay, but why do they think it's going to happen?
It's like a big balloon, okay? You've got a balloon, and then you got a balloon over the balloon. And you puncture a hole in the outer balloon, and the inner balloon, it kind of collapses. Well, that's like our seafloor. And it's going to collapse, and the methane gas, remember, the methane gas is 100 to 120,000 pounds per square inch on a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
The seafloor is only 20 to 30,000 pounds per square inch. So you've got a maximum of 30,000 pounds a square inch pushing against 100,000. I'm going to take the lower figure. 100,000 pounds per square inch, you've got a net of 70,000 pounds per square inch that's going to be shooting outward and upward. And if the fissures that are on the Earth's crust crack and crack and crack, much like the dome in a volcano, at some point the fissures are going to split. And the gas at all of these points are going to be shooting upward. And therefore, you're going to have for the lack of a better term, an oil volcano or a methane gas volcano. The poisons that people are seeing in the Gulf right now are the distillates that are being put there by BP. And my personal investigation shows that there are four bona fide cleanup remedies to not stop the leak, but to keep and harness the oil and the methane gas at sea and allow it to be collected. And the government of the United States and BP have known about these, two of these, which have been around for 20 years. And the cost 20 years ago was 10 times what, or even 50 times greater than what it is now. And one of these was actually, a third one was actually used in the cleanup of the oil spill in Alaska.
Yeah, the Exxon Valdez.
When we have, and yet that remedy is not even being looked at. But there was on my show, which I normally don't have talk or guest on a Sunday show. I had these two gentlemen in from Nano Oil Company, and they had their microbiologist, just chemist, on board, and the process in which they have used is exactly what was used in the Alaska spill, but at 1/100th the cost. Is something they've perfected in just the last 7 years.
Why do you think these methods have been rebuffed and haven't been used?
Good question. That's an excellent question. Why? It's because control. Our federal government, when it gets right down to it, when it comes to energy and the environment, it's dysfunctional. It's broken. And if, in my eyes, it's unfixable in its current form. Within a decade, I personally predict that energy is going to blow out because we're not looking at history. I'm a history major. We're not looking at history. Nikola Tesla perfected an automobile that ran on electricity, not 5 miles. Not for an hour, not 20 miles, 100 miles out from New York City, 100 miles back.
And the interesting thing about that car is it did not have a battery as its source of electricity. It was gathering electricity right out of the atmosphere.
From a box that Nikola Tesla held in his lap over his thighs, plugged into the cigarette lighter.
You know, just as a side note, I got interested in that car and wanted to know what happened to the car. Now, we know that he took that power box out and took it with him back to his lab, and nobody ever saw it again. But what happened to the car? And it's in Canada. It still exists. It's in Canada.
It goes to the cover-up of the fact that we were on the verge of not even having to use oil anymore 80 years ago. 80 years ago, the entire nation could have been weaned off of oil within 3 years. And yet, that cover-up began from the dysfunctional government and those in power at the top. And Toto was over there doing his darndest to yank at that cape, at that curtain, and trying to yank the curtain back. But somebody was kicking Toto away, and we're enslaved into this oil, this dependency of oil. And even today, we've had men like Stan Myers, who perfected the use of a dune buggy running on HHO. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that aren't in chemistry, HHO is water.
You can still, if you Google Stan Meyer, you can still see his videos up on YouTube.
His dune buggy is also located in Canada, and his technology is hidden out in Canada because he was murdered, and evidence profoundly comes forth. But it's all about greed and money, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It's greed, money, and then we've got power. And you ask the simple question,
mm-hmm.
What's going on with the Gulf and why? My personal answer, it's power and the destruction of the United States. The British government still hates the men and women of Louisiana for defeating the British with Andy Jackson in 1815 at the Battle of New Orleans. Outnumbered 500-1, ragtag Cajuns and a bunch of pirates and city folks went down to the bayous and defeated the strongest navy in the world. And the British still hold animosity toward that.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, sir. Lived in England. Worked around a few people there.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Marine security guard at the American Embassy in London. Sat down, and when these guys in their little staunch little military uniforms had three sheets to the wind, that's when they would let you know how much they hated those people from Louisiana for defeating the British.
That's an awfully long time to be holding a grudge.
You have to literally sit there and talk to some of these guys. I mean, these guys are, you know, some of these military men that I sat there and talked with, their great-grandfathers or great-great-grandfathers were in the Navy at that time, and it tarnished their pride.
Mm-hmm.
Look at people in America are gullible. They think that everybody around the world loves them. Right now, America is the empire builder. America.
Well, you know, one of the things I say here on the show very frequently is if you think the rest of the world is like where you're standing, you're wrong. The only place it's like where you're standing is where you're standing. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. My sincere sympathy and condolences to you for whatever it is that occupied your time during the first hour, but we're glad you're here now. My guest is Drew Malone Raines III, formerly of the U.S. Marine Corps, and these days he is a talk show host. And we're talking about information that he's received, and a lot of you have been reading articles on the internet about the BP oil gusher in the Gulf. A lot of you have read a lot of theories that people are publishing on the internet, and you don't know when you see these things. Well, is that for real or not? I mean, is that just somebody's imagination, or, you know, is that real stuff? So he's talking with us about information he's received from two geologists down in the Gulf area, formerly down in the Gulf area, who have packed their families up and left, and they've given him information as to why. And we've been talking about the fact that we haven't been getting the straight truth in the official story, and I'm not surprised about that. Before we get back into this, let me remind you also, folks, please click the link on my website for Element 115. vote for them. That's who just sang the song you just heard. It's called Warrior. They're friends of mine, and they're friends of this show. And they are in a contest. If they win this contest, if they get the most votes, then they will open for Kiss in a concert here in the Phoenix area in September. And we need you to vote for them. And I think you have to have a Phoenix area zip code, but mine is 85201. I don't know what all the other zip codes are around, but click that link and vote for them. They're in first place. They moved from when I first started pushing to get people I knew to go vote for them, I think they were in third or fourth place. Then yesterday they were in second place, and this morning they're in first place. But let's put them way ahead in first place, okay? We need to do that, all right? They are friends of this show, and they're the only rock band I know of that has an alien drummer. So go ahead and click that link for them. All right, we're going to open the phone lines in just a moment. But, Drew, let me ask you this. You're in touch with other Marines, some serving, some former. One of the things that military people learn very, very quickly is that the official story that's given to the American people very often doesn't even resemble what really happened and what really went on the ground out where the troops were. And another significant event today is General McChrystal resigning his command in Afghanistan. And this was over an interview that he gave where the guy just shot straight and said what he thought. And I'm not saying that military people should do that with the press, because there are consequences when you do. But there you have an example of a guy who told it like it was on the ground instead of like it is in our newspapers and on lamestream media. He knew there was a price to pay for that, but he shot straight. Now, what about the Marines that you're in contact with? Do they have anything to say about this BP oil spill? Are they telling you anything about this?
Yes and no. Those that are voicing opinions are stating factually that it appears that it is a false flag event, and one only has to look at videos that have come forth, recordings that were made and discussed. One of the major recordings that most military men got to hear, and they pass it around, and this is one of the things that the government of the United States cannot do. They cannot shut up military men from passing information, and especially in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody out there that believes that McChrystal resigned, that's not true. He may have resigned to save face, but in actuality, he came forth and he told the President of the United States the truth, and he told the people the truth. He works for the people. He is a United States Marine.
Mm-hmm.
And as a United States Marine, he has an oath. And every Marine Corps enlisted personnel takes an oath of allegiance, not to the President of the United States, not to the Senate or Congress or the Supreme Court. They take an oath to the people, to the Constitution. The Constitution is a limitation of power for those men and women that are elected. And as a Marine Corps general, he was telling his boss, we the people, what the truth was. And we the people have elected officials in a republic in which we stand, and we are allowing our elected officials to chastise our military personnel who are telling the truth. It doesn't take rocket science to get out there and look as the Gulf of Mexico oil spill crisis enters its third month. This is 63 days. The economic impact and the environmental impact is staggering across the South. Most people don't realize and know that over three-fifths of the United States Marine Corps are made up of Southern men and women, Southern boys and girls, your sons and daughters, nephews and nieces, your neighbor's son or daughter.
Now, do you think the ratio in the other armed services would be about that same ratio?
Yes. The South, the Southern states make up the majority of all military.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You take the original Confederate states, you tack into those original Confederate states, you throw in Kansas, you throw in Oklahoma, you throw in all of Missouri, obviously you have Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You throw in those states alone, and then, to many people's surprise, you throw in the men and women from Vermont.
Oh yeah, Vermont, they're quite individualistic and very patriotic, but they're not patriotic about the government. They're patriotic about the Constitution.
Extremely so.
Mm-hmm. All right, Drew, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us here. And folks, if you have a question or a comment about this information about the BP oil spill, we invite you to join us and participate in the show by telephone. Now, the way you do that is our main telephone number here in the studio, and you can call this number from anywhere in the world. It is 623-444-5889. If you are in the United States or Canada, we also have a toll-free number. If you need to call me toll-free, you can. It is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call our main number, or since I don't have a toll-free number for outside of the USA and Canada, you can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see where it says Flash Message. Click on that, and then you can type in your question or comment. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Drew. I know you're not a geologist, I don't know really, how much you can share about this, but, I see they have, news people on the streets asking, average person, what they think about this oil spill and stuff, and how they think it's going to affect their lives and stuff, and most of them are kind of detached from it. Well, they say, well, over time, if we're going to, be an oil industry, we're going to have problems switching a while, but overall, it's just kind of, they're not really, they don't seem to really grasp the magnitude of what's happening. And second, I would, wondering, because, we had like hundreds of oil wells over in Kuwait, that we had to go there and end up tapping after Saddam, set them ablaze, so people were probably thinking, what's the big deal with this? Why is this such a, so much worse than those were, And all over the world we're having problems because, like in Russia, they were drilling for natural gas, and they had this explosion, And they got this pit, which they call Pit of Hell, I guess now. They tried everything to shut it off, you know, and turn it off, but they can't do anything to it, so it's sitting there burning. And then also, someplace, I'm not really sure, but they were drilling for gas, and they started a mud volcano, which is now spewing out mud over hundreds of acres of land somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at. So, you know, tragedies are happening with this stuff all over the world, you know, and people are kind of, you know, not aware of that, you know. So I don't wonder if you could share about that or not. And I'll listen offline. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Well, you asked the right guy, because I have a ton of friends in Russia. I've got a dozen Marines that have retired from the Marine Corps and very silently packed their bags and moved to Russia and married Russian women. They were quite happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they advised me that there's more free press in Russia than there are in the United States. And one of the questions the gentleman was asking, this is going to blow everybody away, that aren't really educated to the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico has 7,000 platforms. 7,000
mm-hmm.
platforms. Not one or two, 7,000. And this is the first major catastrophe in the history of all of the oil wells that's been dug in the Gulf or planned and plotted. And most people think that the Gulf of Mexico, they literally put these platforms in and they are anchored to the seafloor. No, 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 no. These platforms are ran by digital computers and equipment to keep them stationary. Thousands of motors run the stabilizing of these platforms all around the Gulf. They're not anchored.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russian, and we're going to talk specifically. I want to bring this up because
you have to do it pretty quick because we have a lot of folks lined up for calls.
We got this. We got in Russia. They dropped a nuclear device on land.
Mm-hmm.
On land, not in the ocean. To stop their oil fissure, but that was on land. We can't do this here. Can you imagine what an atomic bomb would happen on the floor of the Gulf of Mexico? And we'll take another call.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington State. Hello, Mr. Raines.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question.
Hi. I have a question. You said there were two PhD, they're a petroleum geologist, is that what they are? The two PhD geologists you said that moved out of the South?
Yes, ma'am.
What, could you explain why it is that they don't want their names to be known and why they won't come out and publicly make these kinds of claims or statements that they know that are absolutely fact or true and why
they
they're trying to hide their identity?
Ma'am, they did do this in October of last year. They were
reprimanded. In what publication?
They were reprimanded for writing the letters to the president, to BP, and their tenures at their universities were threatened. Their livelihood was threatened. It's like wherever you work, you're the whistleblower. Look at all the whistleblowers and what happens to what used to happen to whistleblowers. A lot 20 years ago, if you were a whistleblower in the government, you lost your job. You were devastated. You didn't get a job anywhere, maybe not even at McDonald's, unless you had a friend that owned the McDonald's chain.
Well, it seems like it would be, you know, sound science that they would base their opinions on.
No, ma'am.
And that the rest of the industry would back that up or support it outside of the petroleum field. But, you know, the rest, I mean, there are other geologists other than in petroleum, such as in mining or lots of other industries.
I will answer your question with this statement. In 1998, microbiologists started dying from all kinds of reasons around the United States. And then a few microbiologists died in the Ukraine. And then a couple of more in the United Kingdom. And then six in Russia. Then 11 in the southeastern part of the United States. All the way through 2007. Over 180 microbiologists, leaders in their field, not just the microbiologists, just real leaders. One was murdered
They were very many.
You have to understand, these men are scared for their life, for what
The microbiologists were experimenting with things they shouldn't have been experimenting with, but geology, that's solid hard earth that you're talking about. I mean, that's pretty solid science, and I don't see how that could be ignored or you know, even in the category of microbiologists in terms of what they were trying to hide and cover up.
I have no answer, ma'am. I have no answer for you if you can't look at the facts out there. The men's lives are scared. They're scared. They related that to me, and I wasn't really going to say that over the air.
Well, I can understand that, but I guess I was just wondering, is there anything that is published that, you know, even comes close to making these kinds of claims?
There's several articles on the Internet published by major publications, major newspapers.
On the Internet, the Oil and Gas Petroleum Magazine published the information in November, I think it was the November-December issue, concerning the vast methane gas field in the Gulf of Mexico, and that there were British Petroleum was thinking about drilling into that, and it was revised as no, but they were thinking about it. Now that's the only publication I know that there was anything mentioned.
Okay, I can check that out then, and you know, see what that says, and that would be great. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but Victoria, also do a search on the Internet for it, because you'll find some recent articles where some of that is referenced. And I'm not talking about on blogs or websites. I'm talking about major newspapers that have published this story.
Okay. Appreciate it very much. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. And the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
I'd like to say hello to Mr. Raines.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Raines. And I'd also like to, I would like to thank you for your service. And I also would like to thank you for sticking up for a great American general.
Yes, sir. Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, or for General McCluskey? McCluskey?
Yeah, the general that Obama fired today.
Yeah, McCluskey.
McChrystal.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
McChrystal. I'm sorry, McChrystal.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tony, did you have a question or comment about the BP gusher?
Yeah, we'd like to ask him if he has an opinion on the blue sky beam the night the rig was exploded.
I'm glad you asked that, because I've gotten a number of third party pictures of digital cameras that were on the Gulf and saw that. These third party are shrimpers, and they pulled their cell phones out and captured the blue particle beam.
Yeah, and there's two beams.
Glove with Jack McLam's article that is now being published in newspapers and magazines. It came out tonight, so I don't know which ones you want to go through, but he has insider information that Bureau of Land Management was involved, and the particle beam that you call the blue beam was possibly something that was used to set off the explosions on board, and not the explosions, but an explosion on board the platform from a satellite that is owned and operated by NASA. And
wow. Okay, Tony, thank you for the call. Very interesting. And what Tony's talking about, folks, if you haven't noticed it, you can find it on the internet. There, you find it on YouTube. There's a video shot by some shrimpers. And you can see these two blue beams coming there, and it's not a beam, it's not a spotlight, because a spotlight spreads out. These are coherent. In other words, they're the same width from top to bottom, and they come straight down on top of that platform. There's two of them. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
It's Francois from Montreal.
Hello, Francois.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Mr. Raines.
Good evening.
I just want to make a comment. If one of both of you have seen the fake oil spill clip, that you see like the oil spill, and then there's a door that opened behind the spill, and you it's just like the light of a door in the dark, and there's like you see like the shadow of a bigger guy opening the door, and there's a small creature that walks in, and a few minutes after the door opened, the creature walks out, and the guy walks out too. That's somebody normal.
That is what is referred to as the government cover-up of showing, well, we've got this live picture of the seafloor, and there's somebody forgot to cover up the glare when the doors open, and it shows a couple of people walking in. Yes, I did see that. And that's where the conspiracy comes forth, to show that it's all a cover-up.
Yeah, and Kevin, did I send you a satellite photo that I found? Did you see it?
Francois, I was not able to see that because it required me to log in. Hang on through the break. I want to talk to you right after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Drew Malone Raines III, on the line with me, I hope. Are you still with me, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And on the other line is Francois from Montreal. Are you still with me, Francois?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Francois, the link that you sent me was to something that was over at Disclosed TV.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, but it's in an area of Disclosed TV where you have to log in, and I'm not a member there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I didn't see it.
Okay, I tried to send it to you another way. I have no idea. We don't have the time to talk about it. Like that satellite photo is showing like the Gulf, like half covered with petroleum, mm-hmm. And there's some like a couple of hundred miles off the Florida coast, and there's some too, I guess it's South Carolina, North Florida.
I'm not sure.
I don't know United States.
So it's beginning to go up the east coast now.
Yeah, and I think that the satellite can see a little bit underwater, and they're mixing the dispersion corrects it directly into the gusher, and I also think like the gusher is they show us it's not the real thing, because they're on that satellite photo, there's way too much oil for what they say. They say like it's like 8 million gallon that they spill, or I don't know what, but it should be it looks like billions of barrels.
Oh yeah, you know, like, yeah, you're exactly right. Francois, thank you for the call. I've received a couple of emails talking about this satellite photograph that shows that the oil is now beginning to go up the East Coast. of the United States. And, you know, this people don't realize, but they need to realize, this could be an extinction-level event. Let's say that, there is this blowout. That doesn't mean that if you have this explosion of the methane underneath the oil, it doesn't mean that all of the oil is now not going to be a problem. It's the second largest reserve of oil known to exist on the planet. It's the second largest, and this thing, if it blows like that, could be a massive, it's a toy gusher right now compared to what it will be, and that's going to fill every ocean. You do realize, folks, all the oceans are connected. All the oceans are connected. You can go from one to the other. And this is potentially an extinction level event, potentially. And I don't know.
There is an oil leak in the Red Sea that's being covered up.
I didn't know about that.
Massive oil spill. It's not an oil spill. It's a massive oil eruption from the seafloor in the Red Sea. You can research it. They're discussing it more and more openly in the United States, but Russian friends of mine told me about it last year. This isn't something new. And you're right. This is a catastrophic event. The biggest problem that I have is Americans aren't told that there's enough oil in Montana, North Dakota, and South Dakota that is the oil field there is greater than all the oil that Saudi Arabia has ever had. And the oil in Colorado and the oil in Alaska, specifically Gull Island, is enough oil to feed the biggest thirst of the United States of America and Canada for the next 300 years. And here we are, ignoring Nikola Tesla, ignoring other scientists, where we can divorce ourselves from oil, and we've got plenty of oil to start working on the divorce and go working to water. And the greatest thing about Stan Meyer's invention with HHO, hydrogen, is that you feed it water to create the hydrogen, and the exhaust is water.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We have a flash message here from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. And, folks, the telephone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, you need to pick up your phone and dial the magic numbers. All right. Caller, hang on, and we'll get to you in just a moment. Leonardo in Puerto Rico has sent us a flash message, and he says, I said from the beginning that this was a pitcher and catcher situation between BP and the powers that be, based on the manner in which the White House and BP did not want to really do anything to stop what was not unstoppable. This was done on purpose in order to control the people and take down the American economy. This is my opinion, or do I owe the president an apology? Well, I'm not sure anymore. Under the Constitution, you have freedom of speech, and you owe nobody an apology. I'm really not sure now that the Constitution is in shreds, where that stands. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Drew. How are you tonight?
One day at a time, guy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I have a question about where you think this is going with New Madrid Fault, since that's
I was waiting for that one. The New Madrid Fault erupted in the 1800s, ladies and gentlemen, between, I forgot the exact year, but it was a catastrophe in and of itself. It literally shook the bells in Philadelphia. And the Caddo Lake just west of Shreveport, Louisiana, was created by that shaking earthquake, even though the earthquake is in New Madrid, Arkansas. And this is one of the things that many of us have been looking at. One of the geologists that I talked to was in his scenario. He said, in a worst case scenario, we're talking about the extreme worst case scenario. We're not talking about this is something he believes is going to happen. He says a worst case scenario is if the Gulf opens up and cracks and causes a New Madrid Fault earthquake, and we have a 7.5 to an 8.5 earthquake, the Mississippi River will literally backflow, and the Gulf of Mexico will backflow all the way to St. Louis. This will take several days, obviously, but the Mississippi River will then expand because the Madre Fault will cause a massive split right down the center of the United States and could possibly cause a crack that would empty or begin having a flow of water coming from Hudson Bay. Those of you that live in Canada, you know where Hudson Bay is. And the water in Hudson Bay will flow southward through the Mississippi, causing the Mississippi to have a width of 200 miles in many places. Now, people, you don't think this is possible. Look at the water that goes over Niagara Falls every second. All of a sudden, Niagara Falls may not have any water running across it because it's going to be diverted, not from where it's at, but the feeder from the north is going to stop flowing.
A lot of people don't realize, Drew, that the Mississippi River, for a great deal of its length, is the New Madrid Fault,
exactly.
Full of water.
Two-thirds of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another. This is another thing. Americans sit here in their apathy, do not understand the flow of water. The Amazon River has more fresh water going into the Atlantic Ocean. Up to 100 miles into the Atlantic, you can reach out and pick a cup full of water and drink it, and it'll be fresh water from the Amazon. The same thing will end up happening with the Mississippi River, only the Mississippi River will be flowing into the Gulf. And when it does, that water's going to flush the oil down there and throw it into the rest of the oceans of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you want to talk about the economy? The Gulf of Mexico is world-renowned for one of the best places for seafood in the world. The Vietnamese can't even come close. In Taiwan, Vietnam, Indonesia, they cannot come close to producing the amount of seafood that comes out of the Gulf of Mexico. Already in the northern states, people are in restaurants are seeing a 33% increase of their dinner meals. The chefs are paying 40% more for their food if it's seafood.
Well, I'll tell you something else. The byproduct of the fishing industry, the waste from the fish and the shrimp and so forth is ground up and turned into fertilizer.
Correct.
And that's not going to be happening. That means you're going to see the price of everything that's agriculture go up. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I have a quick comment for Mr. Raines.
First name and from where are you calling?
This is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, I wanted to add in, I really loved the show with Jeff last night. I didn't call him, but I was listening every second.
Okay.
Okay, and my my comment towards Mr. Raines, and I will hang up afterwards because it's kind of embarrassing calling in even after all these years. I don't know. My thing I wanted to say is I really, really, really enjoyed the logic that you had behind everything that you spoke about. Very realistic and great attitude towards it. And the other thing I wanted to say that maybe not a lot of people will touch on is that I had a deep respect for the accuracy and depth of your history of the United States, which is being rewritten today and nobody has a sense and clue on. You remind me of Michael Savage. You've got a great background and great sense of history, and that's some of the most important things that are missing nowadays. So thank you very much for being here, and thank you very much for helping us out.
Thanks, Bob.
Sir. What was his name?
His name is Bob from California.
Bob from California? I want to let you know something, Bob. I lived in Huntington Beach, California, at Boca Chica High, in an apartment complex. In 1971, after my first tour of duty in Vietnam, and most of the young people that I basically partied with, for lack of a better term, on the Seal Beach, were amazed at the knowledge of history that I had, and I would like to thank you, Bob, because you honor Maddie Mae Brown.
All right, Drew, we have to step away. Break's taking over, and we will be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and my guest is Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, let's go straight to the telephone here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. Okay.
I get those, too.
Oh, yeah. I used to get those a lot, but we don't get those too much anymore. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. 888-223-4599 is the number for toll-free calls from the USA and Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
How are you doing tonight? How are you
Good.
Doing?
Good.
Have you guys heard anything about an oil sheen that's approaching Cuba? Cuba.
I have not. Have you? Are you with us, Drew?
I have not. I have seen satellite photographs, but I'm not at liberty to discuss those. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, because I looked on. You know, what's funny is I just went up to Google News and. There's not one story about this on there,
mm-hmm.
about the oil spill at all.
What's the caller's name? What's the caller's name?
This is Ryan.
Ryan, I will tell you this. I read 300 newspapers every morning as a speed reader, and I do a News and Views out, and I pull stories out there, and some of the places that I read are not, we as Americans do not read those sources, such as newspapers in Cuba. And if you will get on the internet and just type in the Havana newspaper, you will probably see the story in which you are wanting information from, because the Cuban government has hired and put 1,000 people on the beaches on the far western side of Cuba, and they're monitoring area 100. I think it's they're monitoring, like, each person has got 200 yards of beachfront that they have to walk several times a day, and
yeah.
They're keeping very close watch for what is coming toward Cuba. And
what's going to happen when that happens? That's it's going to start getting real ugly. Huh?
Yes, definitely.
It's getting ugly, but. Yeah, I saw a news clip on the TV today, and it seems like the people they hire down there, some of them work hard, but the ones that they hired out of prison, the inmates that they hired to come out and work on the beach, they work like 20 minutes and then they rest for 40 minutes.
Are you talking about in the United States or in Cuba?
In the United States.
Okay.
You know how they hired the inmates from jail to come out and work? You know, I all the shrippers and fishermen, I understand they're, I mean, people are working hard down there, but from what I understand, there's some of them are just kind of standing around. It's kind of a monumental task. I don't think using a shovel and a garbage bag is going to clean up all this oil, but I'll let you guys go.
I'd like to chime in here with something that most Americans don't know. The shrimpers and the shrimp boats have been bought by BP. I shouldn't say they've purchased them outright, but they have the shrimpers have signed contract with British Petroleum on the second and third week of this calamity, and the BP has basically told the shrimpers, you will not start your engine until we tell you, because you signed a contract for 6 months or 1 year, and we are paying you, and that boat is ours, so park it. Don't put your key in. Don't start it up. And that's the facts, what's going on with a lot of shrimpers down there that are basically, as you see them standing around, they're mad, but because they signed a contract, and pursuant to the Uniform Commercial Code, they can't move their boats unless they end up in court.
All right, let's take our final call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John. You'll have to make it quick, but we've got about 3 minutes here.
Okay. I'm assuming it's not an accident. So I got two questions from that.
Go ahead.
One is, why, if it's not an accident, why was BP delivered as a sacrificial lamb? And question number two is, if they knew that it's a global extinction event, what does that mean? What it implies to me is the powers that be, it seems like they don't actually plan to live on the surface.
I don't believe that they thought it would be as catastrophic as what it's turning out to be. Your BP is the sacrificial lamb in as much as they're being played by the Illuminatist behind the scenes, and the BP CEO and the board of directors sold over one third of their shares of stock before 2 weeks before, and they sold all of their oil interest stock in British Petroleum 3 weeks before the catastrophe. So now BP is the largest green company in the world, owning no stock in their oil industry, but they are responsible for their oil rigs.
And Goldman Sachs got rid of 44% of their BP stock.
And you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, Drew, there's no question that we're not being told the truth here. I think the truth about this is so big and so bad and so dark that nobody really has it all. But we have enough of it that we can see we're not being told the truth. Folks, we don't get told the truth here in the United States of America very often. It's a rare thing when it does happen. And Drew, you do like I do. You have all these newspapers that you read, and I've got a bunch of publications and websites that I read, and I put in a lot of hours doing that. But you know that if you really want to know what's going on in the world, you got to get your news from somewhere else besides the United States.
Yes, sir. Maddie May Brown, my high school history teacher, one of the things that she pointed out in 1965, was that you, young women and men in this classroom, will live to see the freedom of America diminished and the freedom of the Russians escalated far greater than what we have. But you have owe yourselves the due diligence to learn the truth and investigate and research it for yourself. Otherwise, you're being led like sheep to slaughter.
And that is so true. So true. Folks, there's no way that I can emphasize enough. There's no possible way that I could even exaggerate this. That if you want to know what's happening in the world, you better get outside the USA for your news. Because this stuff here, the so-called mainstream media, lamestream media, are puppets and shills. And, you know, you're not going to get the facts. You will not get the facts unless you get them from outside the United States. It comes from amazing sources, too. It's surprising. Places where we've been told that, oh, they're bad people. You read, and what's written is just a report, and it has no bias or slant to it. It just says, here are the facts, you know. And it's pretty amazing. You can there's far more freedom in some places than there is here. All right, that's it for this evening. Drew, stay on the line with me for just a minute. I want to thank you for being my guest this evening. Interesting show and important show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.